92.3 Inspiration FM. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to Under the Sun. It features the best of contemporary Nigerian writing brought to you by the British Council. The series was devised by Graham Moat and produced by Chidi Okwo. All right, this week we're talking about a story written by Chiaka Unachukwu Obasi. And we're going to be playing that in a couple of minutes. And I also have a guest in the studio. If you have a pen and paper, the number to call if you want to be part of the show is 277-3923 or 277-2923. That's 277-3923 or 277-2923. I'm going to play you the story written by Chiaka Unachukwu. It's titled Home at Last. Home at Last. Stick around right here. We'll be right back after this. Inspiration FM Under the Sun, brought to you by British Council.
Only a handful of sympathizers were present at Mama Kouko's burial. Not even her relatives were there. They had disowned her right from the day she decided to marry the man who was my Papa Kouko, who died many years before my birth. But curiously, my mother was absent. Conspicuously absent. I, the only grandchild present, the unwanted child in Icha village, was the chief mourner. My childhood friend, Tochi, was by my side, and he mourned with me. The coffin looked like the bark of an old iroko tree beaten by harsh weather. As it lay in the shallow grave, it reminded me of three things I hold dear. The first was Mama Kouko herself. Before her death, she looked so frail with bony limbs and sunken eyes. The second was our mud house. Few people in Icha had to live in buildings like that. The third was Icha Primary School, IPS, which I attended. Its mud wall had fallen when I was in Form 3. I had stopped at Form 5 because Mama Kouko could not raise money for my tuition and other fees. Even at the inevitability of approaching death, Mama Kouko still hoped that one day I would grow up to become rich.
"Then you, DK, will rebuild that school," she always said. "You will teach these government people how they should spend government money."
The priest stood at a respectable distance from the open grave. He raised the crucifix towards it, turned and looked at me. I felt that his look, like those of many Icha people, was condescending. Of course, Mama Kouko could not pay her monthly dues at the women's wing of the church. Most of the church members were not happy about this. I approached the grave, scooped the red earth, and looked at the coffin for the last time.
"Aja lana aja, ntu lana ntu,
dust to dust. She is gone, Mama Kouko. But to whom and to where do I go?"
"Come to our house for the night," Tochi said.
"But Tochi, you don't understand," I responded. "Your people will throw me out. Ija people say I am an osu, an outcast. That is why my Mama Kouko's people disowned her, for marrying an osu. Papa Kouko's relatives avoid us like a plague."
"Don't talk like this, DK. You are a man, are you not?"
"And that is the problem, Tochi. A man whose father is unknown, Anobara Ojo, bad blood, born out of wedlock in the town. A man brought to Icha land by an only daughter who should have behaved more responsibly. A man whose mother cannot inherit anything in her father's house. She is only a female, Tochi."
"Listen, DK," said Tochi. "At 14, you are no longer a child. Be a man."
My three uncles sat at a reasonable distance from Mama Kouko's hut. I sat by the door of the hut and listened. Decisions had already been made and were being announced to me.
"You do not belong here," they told me. "So do not waste time trying to locate your father. We know a woman who can help you to find your mother. Your mother has been away for too long. If she wanted to help you, she would have come if she cared. Tears were in my eyes. Why don't you pity me? Am I not your own flesh and blood? Why am I not allowed to mourn Mama Kuku? Shut up your mouth! Idiot. My youngest uncle roared. Now listen. This thatched house shall be cleared tomorrow so that my sons, the true heirs of this compound, will acquire it. Did you get that? I nodded to myself. Tochi was right. I should be a man. I alighted from the bus I boarded in Icha. Buses sped past as I stood by the road and clutched Mama Kuku's old bag. Most of the bus conductors hung dangerously but bravely by the doors, screaming the names of their destinations. Emene, 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 Old Park, Old Park. Many of them were boys underage. I strained my ear to hear them mention my destination. I was sure the woman my uncles referred me to mentioned Main House bus stop. A man pushing a wheelbarrow who wore only faded short jeans and pushed sacks of gari nearly rammed into me. Stupid boy, he cursed. On a second thought, he stopped and asked, what are you looking at? Sorry, I stammered. I am going to Main House bus stop. He frowned and stood still. Then he pulled his load aside and approached me, sweat running down his bare skin. That should be mainland, he said. You must be Johnny Just Come. JJC. He suddenly smiled, showing his yellow teeth. Boy, you should watch it, okay? I nodded, expecting him to leave, but he did not. He waved down the next bus and told the driver that I would alight at mainland bus stop. I thanked him as I hopped on. It took less than 7 minutes. The sitting room smelled of rich perfume. There was also an aroma of boiling meat and onion which drew a rumble from my stomach. Three children, two boys and a girl, all below 10 years of age, sat on the sofas and watched TV. Only the biggest boy, who had opened the door to let me in, actually looked at me with a frown before he returned to his seat. I knew I sweated because of anxiety and looked unkempt. Then a stern-looking man appeared at the doorway wearing a grey t-shirt and green shorts. His eyes narrowed as he ignored my greeting and asked, who are you? I am DK, sir, I responded. His eyes widened. You are who? What are you doing here? A young lady clad in apron and a scarf came out from the kitchen door. She was wiping her hands on a white towel. She appeared worried when she looked at the stern man. When she turned and faced me, I knew she was not my mother. She could have been 20 or a little more. What are you doing here? The stern man's anger shot my lips. It's okay, uncle, the young lady said. Let me handle this. You better do that. He should leave this house at once. Leave! The young lady is kind. She walks with me down the road. The stern man is her uncle and my mother's husband, she tells me. Those children are my half-brothers and half-sister. My mother and her husband may soon separate. They have been living like cat and dog in recent times. Each time my mother is battered, she is taken to an unknown hospital for treatment. Right now, she is recuperating somewhere. She really wants this marriage to work. That is partly why she stayed away from Icha, in obedience to her husband's demands. I am fed up with my uncle's bullying, she sighs. But don't worry, I can help you. Help me do what? Find your father. Your mother told me everything. You should be strong. The news is not good. She looks concerned. He was, and I believe, is still rich. He has only two little daughters who are living with HIV. His wife died of AIDS 2 months ago. They were diagnosed with the ailment very late. I understand he longs to see his son before he dies. Where is he? I am anxious to know more. The building is magnificent. Everyone hugs me. They keep saying, he looks like him. My half-sisters are brought to me. They are 5 and 3 years of age. I hold them. I carry them. We are taken to him, our father. He sees me and smiles. I see myself in his lean face as I approach his bed. He holds me so tight, so close to his bony chest. His skinny arms remind me of Mama Kuku. I feel him moan and hear him whisper. I know you won't make the mistakes I made, my son. Please forgive me. It's okay, Papa. It's okay, I whispered. There are tears in many eyes except mine. I feel a heavy lump in my throat and my chest tightening. But I'm thinking of what Tochi would say. You should be a man. The hands that hold me suddenly go limp and slide away from me. There is love, there is compassion, and there is sorrow everywhere. I see these in the faces of the fighters against HIV and AIDS, FAHA, who are among the crowd. I see them too in the face of the priest who hands me a shovel. As I scoop the red earth, I wish Tochi was here with me. Aja lana aja, ntu lana ntu, dust to dust. Again, Mama Kuku comes to my mind. I think of what she dreamt I will become and what I will be. The fight has just begun.
And that was Home at Last, written by Chiaka Unachukwu Obasi. And basically talking about a teenage boy born out of wedlock, goes to seek his biological father after his grandmother dies, and goes, basically the journey is still uncertain for him, but he finds his father. And don't let me let everything out of the bag just yet. I have in the studio with me a young lady, a program officer, belonging to an NGO, that's a media NGO doing advocacy on HIV and AIDS. She is Ogechi Onua. Hope I got that right.
Yes, you did.
Welcome, Ogechi.
Thank you. And now, good afternoon to our brilliant listeners.
All right, then. So, you've heard the story of Home at Last, written by Chiaka. What is your take on this?
The story is a beautiful story that brings out issues that are real in our society. Issues that are problems that need to be addressed in society. And these issues include the issues of superstition as represented in the Osuka system in the drama. It also brings to light the issues of HIV and AIDS, and then the issue of lack of education for our children. And then saliently, it also brings out the issue of gender violence or gender inequality. Okay. So these are issues that were brought out in the story.
All right. The number to call is 277-3923 or 277-2923. It's Under the Sun. It's a program brought to you by British Council every Saturday from 1 p.m. And, we have loads of time before 1:30 to take your questions or your contributions. I had a chat with Chiaka, who wrote the story, and I'm going to give you a little glimpse of what she said and what basically moved her to write this particular story. But if you have any questions or contributions, hit us up on 277-3923 or 277-2923. Now, Ogechi, how long have you been doing this advocacy?
For about 5 years now.
5 years?
Yes.
And how has the journey been? What have you seen? You know, how has it been out there? People suffering from stigmatization, HIV, and all whatnot.
Stigma is a very terrible thing that can happen to anybody.
Okay.
HIV is still largely perceived as a death sentence, which it should not be. People are still largely ignorant. A lot of misconceptions exist in our society regarding HIV and AIDS. And because of this ignorance and misconceptions, stigma is still rife. And stigma kills more than the virus itself.
All right, we have some callers here. Let's see who this is. Hello, good afternoon. first. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Welcome to Under the Sun. What's your name?
My name is Henry. I'm calling from Ajao Estate.
Okay, Henry, what is your question or contribution?
Yeah, actually, I have a contribution to make.
Okay.
As to add to what your guest tried to deduce from the story. It's a very touching story anyway. I really appreciate this story. One thing I want to say is that the story not only talks about AIDS, gender inequality, we also talk about the struggle of a man, you know, becoming a man, you understand what I'm saying? And to give us the dreams that either you or somebody you hold so dear have to your mind, you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, being a man, basically, is not just this thing. And what I when I heard that story, that was what just came up to my mind, that human beings, men, basically, are seen one challenges or the other. And the only way to becoming a man is to be the man.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for checking in.
All right.
All right. Well, his angle is from the journey of a boy to becoming a man. Obviously, he had to go through a lot, not being with his mom, then finding out his father, and then shortly after finding his father, father passes away. Let's see who else is on the line. Hello. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon.
Welcome to Under the Sun. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Tony from Okota.
All right, what's your question or contribution?
Yeah, I really want to talk to your, you said the program director or something.
The program officer.
Okay, the program officer, sorry. Yeah, she mentioned also being a superstitious story or something.
Yes, superstition.
Yeah, but I want to say it really exists from the part I come from.
It truly exists?
Yep.
Superstition exists.
As in the Osu outcast something.
Oh, okay. What part of Nigeria are you from?
I'm from the eastern part, from Anambra State.
And what exactly is your story?
It's like in my place, there was this reverend father that was like, okay, no more segregation. If you want to get married to an Osu, you bring them up to the altar. I'm going to get you guys married. I'm going to wed you. So they were like, why not set an example with your family? Get one of your brothers to marry and a girl from as in an outcast. So at the end of the day, it was a deadlock. So in my place now, they still marginalize themselves from this Osu stuff, and the main they call them Dialas, that's the owners of the land.
They call them Dialas.
Yeah, as in the owners of the land.
Owners of the land.
The real bonds.
Okay, and this still persists till today.
Yeah, in my place where I come from.
All right, thanks a lot for your contribution.
All right, thank you.
All right, like I mentioned earlier on, I had a chat with Chiaka Obasi, who wrote the story, Home at Last, that you've just heard. The number's still 277-3923 or 277-2923. We're going to go on a break now and listen to the phone call I had with her earlier on to find out what she has to say about the stigmatization and all the other issues brought up in the story. We'll be right back.
My name is Chiaka Okachukwu Obasi. I'm an advertising copywriter based in Enugu. I write poems, short stories. I'm trying to see if I can develop in the area of writing novels. Now, the story is about a boy of 14 years whose name is Dike, whose grandmother brought him up, and the grandmother died because of poverty, because the family is poor. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with the family. His mother had remarried and had lost contact with him. And because his grandfather was no more and his grandmother has also died, the entire extended family ignored him and even asked him to look for his mother because his father was not from that same family. He was an illegitimate child. And the family happened to be an Osu family. So they didn't want to have anything to do with the boy. After the grandmother's death, he started looking for the mother. And while looking for the mother, he now got to know where his father is. His father had HIV and was about to die. That's when he found out his father. And after some time, just a few minutes after locating his father, the father died.
What do you mean by Osu?
Osu is a term used in Igbo land for those regarded as outcasts.
What was the inspiration behind your story?
Well, the inspiration was seeing people being ostracized in the Igbo society. Well, it's not just Igbos that do practice the Osun caste system. But in Nigeria here, it looks as if Igbos do not want to have anything to do with an Osun person, a so-called Osun person, when it comes to marriage. We know that other things, like not socializing with the person, not eating with the person, those ones have been discarded in the society. But when it comes to marriage, the so-called Osun person should not be married, as they say in Igbo land. So I wanted to use this story to send a message. Let it be that people should drop anything that will lead to ostracizing some people in the society. I think there should be a law that such things should be abolished. People should not ostracize their fellow human beings based on the fact that they are regarded as Osun or that they have HIV and AIDS. It is not right for the society. It's not right for all of us. I want to use this opportunity to thank the British Council for giving us the opportunity and helping us to learn and develop our skills in creative writing.
All right. Thank you very much, Chiaka, for joining us.
Okay. Thank you, Oscar. God bless.
And that was Chiaka, who had that much to say about her story and the issue of this Osun and stigmatization. I think it's like two things tied into one today. The stigmatization from the traditional point of view of people born outside wedlock, and stigmatization of people who have HIV and AIDS. And it's kind of tied in together. Did you come across this issue of this Osun during your course of work?
Yes, in the Southeast, where the caste system exists, Osun is a big issue. The Osun caste system alienates those who attacked Osun from other members of the society, especially in the area of marriage. A supposed Diala, who is like a true son, a true born of that community, is not allowed to marry an Osun. And an Osun is not allowed to marry a Diala. So even it discriminates in the sense that love is not given a chance. And just like HIV and AIDS, or when a son is born outside wedlock, it discriminates, it stigmatizes the individuals who are concerned, and that also alienates them. It makes them unable to function properly in society.
Okay. All right, let's I think we have a caller here. If you have any questions or contributions, 2773923 or 2772923. If you just tuned in, welcome to Under the Sun. It's basically the hottest stories by contemporary Nigerian writers dealing with everything under the sun, every issue. And today we have the story titled Home at Last, written by Chiaka Obasi, which basically talks about a teenage boy who loses his grandmother that's taking care of him, finds his father, but his father has AIDS, and shortly after finding him, he dies. And we're talking about two major issues here, the fact that he's an Osun, and the fact that, or the issue of stigmatization. Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, welcome to Under the Sun. What's your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Chika, I'm calling from Aja.
All right, so what's your contribution or your question?
Well, I think the story is quite interesting. I think the writer really did put up a good work. And the issue of Osun is so serious in that area, in the eastern part of Nigeria. And I think government should do something about it.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
All right.
Now, what is the role of the government? What actions have they taken to curb this issue? I know maybe about HIV and AIDS, but I'm not too sure about this issue of the Osun.
Well, legally, the government has enacted laws that makes it a punishable offense to call somebody an Osun or discriminate an individual because of the perceived cultural inequalities.
Okay, you mean this is actually a law?
Yes, there's a law in Nigeria that punishes such offense. But it goes beyond the law. I think to tackle the issue of the Osun system or the Osun caste, it comes to us as individuals to begin to show love, to begin to treat the other person as we would treat ourselves. If we as individuals will put ourselves in the position of the person who is being stigmatized because we perceive the person as an osu. I think the barriers of the caste system will greatly be reduced through love. So I want to admonish our brothers and sisters from the eastern part to begin to show love, to treat the other as you would treat ourselves. We have come out of age. Let's drop those things that hinder us and pull us back. Because when you stigmatize somebody because you perceive him, nothing makes this person a lesser person than the so-called dealer.
I'd also like to point out that the funny thing is we're talking about stigmatization, but we are also narrowing this issue of the osu to the east, right?
Yes.
So in a way, we are. I don't want to say we're stigmatizing them, but the truth is, it's not just common to them, is it?
It's not. The caste system is not just common to the eastern part of the country, but it's just that in the script, the reference was made of the osu, which exists in the eastern part. I'm aware that in other parts of Nigeria, like among the Benins, they also have their own form of caste system. So it's not just peculiar to the Igbos.
Okay, let's just take, I think, one last call before we round up. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Under the Sun. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Kemi and I'm calling from Ikeja.
All right, what's your question or contribution, Kemi?
Well, it's more of a contribution, especially for people living with HIV. Yeah, well, I have a friend currently who passed away about a week ago. She had HIV, she's had it for about 8 years. She passed away for about 8 years. And how I found out was, we went to church one day and people would get a ride home and I had a car. So she sat in the front seat and people at the back got down. And I was wondering what was going on. And I just said, okay, no problem, I'll take you home. And then she drove, and as we were driving, I was like, do you know what just went on? She said, I am HIV positive. And I was like, yeah, and I am O negative AA. So she's like, you're the first person, and this was in church, you're the first person that would like react like that very easily. And I said, well, maybe because I'm a bit educated about it. So it's not just a matter of, you know, ostracizing people living with HIV. It's a matter of everybody getting educated and educating their kids that, listen, if somebody enters your car, you can't catch it. And they are human beings too. And but for the grace of God, that would have been me. Because nobody can claim to be holy. And apart from sex, there's so many ways to get HIV. Do you understand? And anybody can get it. Like I said, but for the grace of God, so many of us would have, God knows what, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm just, my contribution is that the more we educate, not just people, not just the public, but our friends. I mean, I did microbiology in school, so I kind of have an idea that, okay, this is how the virus is contracted, this is the stages it goes through, this is how it mutates, and it's now a serious issue. I even had a thesis on it.
Okay.
So I'm a bit better informed like that, but we need to talk to each other. Such that these people, we remember that they are people and they're members of our society.
Thank you very much, Kemi, and condolences to, for, about your friend.
Thank you very much.
All right.
All right then.
Okay, so I think that's a wrap, and if I might say so, Kemi has basically put everything in a nutshell about the issue of stigmatization and the fact that be your brother's keeper, love people for who they are, do not stigmatize, and sometimes people are in conditions that they themselves, you know, were not party to, or they didn't have a choice, but it just happened. All right, any last words, Ogechi, before we round up?
Yeah, lastly, I would like to tell our listeners to please go to know their HIV status. As was shown in the drama, the father of DK died and the stepmother died because they were diagnosed late. Now, if we get to know our status early enough, then the issue of dying of AIDS will not be there because there is treatment that can help manage the virus. So VCT, voluntary counseling and testing, is the option. Go to know your status.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, Ogechi.
Thank you.
All right. That about rounds it up today on Under the Sun. Don't forget, Under the Sun features the best of contemporary Nigerian writing, brought to you by the British Council. The series was devised by Graham Moat and produced by Chidi Oko. And today we had a story titled Home at Last. Thank you very much to all of you who called in. See you same time next week. My name is Oscar. Have a wonderful Saturday. TT will be right back to go on with the show.
Spirit.